What's going on, swingers? Welcome to another episode of the Big Swing Podcast. I'm your co-host, Cooper Searles, joined as always by my podcast compadre, Blue Jays pitcher, Ross Stripling. Strip, this is the last dance.
The last dance. I saw you type that up in your Zoom email at that. If we're going to say that, we're going to get sued for trademark infringement or whatever, but we got to go with the last dance. I think it's episode 138. If you're OCD and we're going out on 138, that probably bothers you. We should have tried to get to like 140, 145, 150. But yeah, podcast kind of ran its course, Coop, and it's coming to an end.
Yeah, the podcast is coming to an end, but on a really great note, like a really positive note. Ross and I have, you know, I put some stats down. It's been 2 years, 5 months, and 8 days, a total of 890 days, 138 episodes, and we started it January 30th, 2019. So Ross and I have put a ton into this, and I think we went into this, and we've said this multiple times. We wanted to come into it and really be committed and go all out and have fun with it. And I'm really proud to say that I think we did that, Strip. And I think what we're doing is, you know, going out on a high note.
Yeah, exactly right. I wrote this down in my notes that we're going out like Seinfeld, not like some of these Netflix shows that get banged after a season, right? Like Seinfeld went out, the number one show in the world, and we're obviously not the number one podcast in the world, but we reached our pinnacle, you know, and between my schedule, I have a son, Coop has a real job, and, you know, the ability to get guests and everything that goes into recording a weekly podcast, it's a grind, and, you know, unfortunately, we're just not going to be able to put it out there for you guys anymore, but to think that we've been doing it for 890 days and we poured blood and sweat into this thing. I mean, I built a freaking website for it. It took me a whole off season and it basically was for no reason, but I developed a really,
but now you know how to learn a
that's
website.
A really cool
yeah,
skill.
You can build a
I
website.
Got that skill and I never ever in a million years would have done that without the Big Swing. And just all the other things that we're going to get into over the next, you know, 20, 25 minutes, just talking about how much fun we had. And it's sad, man. It's sad. But like you said, you know, feel like we accomplished everything we set out to back in, you know, January of 2019.
Yeah. And, you know, we wanted to be consistent from the start. And, you know, that we really started with no idea how to do this. Like I had very limited skills with the editing, but it, you know, if you listen to our old episodes, it wasn't great. You know, the audio was rough. And, but it is kind of like cool to listen back and then hear where we are now and just, you know, the microphones, the comfortability on the mics. And I think that's a testament to us being weekly for, what I say, 890 days, essentially weekly since that. I was telling you before we started, I've been in 3 different houses since we started the Big Swing, and you've probably been in 47. So that's probably what I'm most proud of is our commitment and our consistency, because I think that's what made our podcast good and I think made us good as hosts.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, we're sitting in a Rockets game with our wives and all of a sudden we have a podcast and we have a name and we're recording that first episode and we've talked about it at length on other episodes, so we don't need to dive all the way into it, but just how we hated it. And we recorded like 3 times and then ended up going back with the first one and putting it out and then recording our first guest, Gerard Johnson, and your microphone doesn't even freaking work. So you're picking up the audio from my mic and we put it out and we're like, dude, maybe we're not built for this. And, you know, a lot of people, Coop just touched on it, forget that Coop did the back end of the first, I don't know, 70 episodes. You know, so you're talking like I just roll up and record for 45 minutes and Coop has another 2 hours of work in the back end putting it together and editing out ums and like stuff that drove us crazy in the beginning, you know, and how much that took out of his day and time away from his, you know, wife and family and all that kind of stuff that just goes into this that people don't realize. And that's one thing that I wrote down that I'm super proud of. We had a lot of people come up to me, and I'm sure you too, Coop, and I know actually both of us, asking for help about their podcast.
Yep.
What do we do? What microphones do we use? What software do you use? Do I need this fancy stuff? You know, how do you make the sound better? Whatever it is, you know, I feel like there's been dozens of people, whether it's just through like social media questions or even in person. I've had teammates want to start podcast coaches and people at least like pick my brain about it, whether they actually started or not. And that's been a huge plus in all this is people that have gone on to start podcasts and we've actually had a small hand in it.
Yeah. So we can kind of get into it. You know, Strip and I wrote down some like cool moments from our history of the Big Swing podcast and just some stuff we're proud of. So we'll just kind of go back and forth, Strip. The first one I had here was just exactly what you said. I think for you as a active baseball player, yeah, there really wasn't ever a podcast. Like, I think Colin McHugh had one for like maybe five episodes, but a real consistent podcast with legitimate guests and a weekly show, no one had ever done that before. And like, it's really cool that we sort of like trailblazed for the MLB, and we really provide a different side of like entertainment for a sport that really didn't have it. And, you know, we spawned, you know, it's not all from us, but after our podcast and after having them as guests, you know, guys like Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser started a podcast. Courtney Turner started a podcast. Ian Happ. And then, you know, the list goes on of people that you said have reached out to us to try to start one. So that's been like super, super cool.
Yeah, Ian Happ within days. I remember we had the same agent, and I remember getting him on and being excited to have him on. I didn't know him at all. And he comes on, he seems excited to be on the podcast. And like 4 days later, he's got like a logo and he's launching his own podcast. I text him like, dude, you must have loved it. And he's like, yeah, man, it's great. And they're still going.
Yeah.
They're on like Blue Seam. They do episodes all the time. I think they're doing great. Yeah. So the one I wrote down is the first time someone screamed at me, I'm a swinger. I'm sitting.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's our first road trip. It's in 2019. We're in Colorado. And the bullpens are out in right center, and the fans sit 40 feet above that. It's like the second deck, and then it goes down to the bullpen. And I'm shagging BP. I'm in like center field. And some dude, strip, 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 I'm a swinger, and just screams it across the whole field in Colorado. And I didn't even shag the rest of BP. I like jog into the locker room and instantly text Coop. I'm like, dude, you're never going to believe what just happened. I just had the first guy say that he's a swinger. That is like ingrained in my memory how funny that was.
I was just about to ask you if you remember, because I remember about to watch that game. Like, it was early and the game hadn't started, but it was pretty close to starting. And I remember getting a text from you, like all fired up and excited about it. And like, I specifically remember you telling me about that and how funny it was. And then like, to piggyback on that, I remember there was like a moment, maybe like a couple weeks after that or a month after that, where you reached out to me and you were just like, dude, this is like, this is a thing. Like, it's happening. Yeah. Like, people, every place I go, whether it's an event or a game, like someone's saying something about being a swinger, being a listener to the podcast. Like, I remember you telling the story about, you know, you talking to kids at a school, and the teacher at the school said their husband's a swinger.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And it was happening all the time, because for one, just Dodger fans listening and wanting that content. So I was getting it all the time in LA at the games, but then on the road and stuff is when it was really cool. You know, you'd see Dodger fans in like St. Louis, Colorado, San Francisco, whatever, screaming, I'm a swinger at you, you know, and you're like, all right, dude, that's great. Like, I guess I'm glad we went with that name in hindsight. I mean, it's very unique, but when you have people screaming, I'm a swinger in front of thousands of people, it'll stir up some stuff.
That is like my personal most proud thing is coming up with the name Swinger. I think
you
that
were on
was
that from the start.
That was it, like before we started the podcast, I think I had that.
I think, I think like day one, recording, you rolled up with what's up swingers, this is a Big Swing podcast, and we're like, yeah,
that's awesome. Shelby was in the background like, I don't know,
oh god.
Another thing I had written down was we had the opportunity to interview a guy that is a top five pitcher of all time in Clayton Kershaw. Like, I know that's a buddy of yours, a teammate, I've met him a couple times, but it's like when you really step back from it and you think about the legacy of the Big Swing podcast, Clayton Kershaw doesn't talk like that. And we had him for basically two straight hours on separate podcasts, you know, talking one during the season and one during COVID and getting his thoughts on all that's going on. Like, that just, you just didn't see that. And I think even like 10, 20 years down the road, that's really going to be the only evidence of like that type of thing with Kersh.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, when we first got this going, we knew we had an awesome network of players around me in the locker room to pick from, right? And Clayton was probably the first name we wrote down. And then to get him on two separate times and for him to open up, I mean, he should do it more, honestly, because when he gets on, he's unbelievable. I mean, he spoke at the White House the other day. Like, I think he gave like a full-blown speech at the White House when they, you know, met Joe Biden. And like, that was probably just kind of off the cuff for him. I'm sure he does a little bit of prep, but he has it. He has the charisma when he gets in front of a microphone, when he speaks to someone, like he knows what to do. And I wish he would show it more, but I'm certainly very selfishly happy that he did it twice on the Big Swing, because, I mean, those are obviously two of the best episodes we ever had. And then the one I wrote down is Bellinger before he was an MVP, right? So he was like the fourth guest we ever had. I'm sitting in San Francisco. I think it's the first one. No, because you came to spring training. So we did some in person, but it was the first one I was going to do in person where
you had to handle
like,
the own tech.
I had to handle the tech, which was not my specialty. And at that time, we were using a Yeti mic. I was just putting it in front of us in a massive hotel room. Like the audio was not good, but it was Bellinger when he was first taking off. And we were asking him, like, man, you know, we're a month and a half into the season. You're hitting like 420 at the time. Like, how are you feeling moving forward? Well, lo and behold, he goes and wins an MVP, kills it. You know, and I think that that episode got like 10 times more downloads than any other episode we had, even moving forward. And we, after coming out of that one, we're like, dude, we're here. Like, we've arrived. And then after that, we went way back to like our normal downloads, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like that was the pinnacle of our episodes for probably the first 50.
Yeah.
You know, where it was like the Bellinger episode. How do we get others to be like the Bellinger episode? And we were trying and we were searching and we were trying. And, you know, it just shows you, for one, how many, you know, 15-year-old girls love him out there on Instagram. And, and two, just how loved he is in the city of LA and how good of an episode that was for us.
It's cool to have a piece in like the documentation of these great Dodger seasons, you know, like the Bellinger MVP you said, and then obviously we're recording throughout that Dodgers World Series run. And one guy we interviewed basically right after winning the World Series MVP was Corey Seager. And like that's another example of just kind of like being in the history of those Dodgers teams. And I think that's going to be super cool looking back.
Yeah, the Seager one is a funny story. So they had just won the World Series. And I'm texting everyone, you know, congratulations, well deserved. And kind of guys are like trickling in one by one. Maybe some don't even respond. I'm sure their phones are crazy. And Seager responded, ready when you are, quote, ready when you are. And that is what Corey Seager would text me when he's ready to get on Xbox and play Fortnite or Warzone at that time. I haven't played since my son was born, but he would always text me, hey, ready when you are. And I'd be like, either, okay, I'll be on a 10 or like, oh, I can't play tonight. But that's what he always texts me. So the night he wins the World Series MVP, and I say, hey, congratulations, man, that's so sick, he responds, ready when you are. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's on the sticks. Like, I'm going to get on and talk to him and, like, see how all that was or whatever. And I go, well, okay, man, I'll be on in, like, a half hour or whatever. And he goes, oh, no, ready for the podcast. And I was like, oh, nice. Here we go. Yeah, I was like, here we go. So that was a cool moment where, you know, for whatever reason, he was thinking of me in that moment and wanting to come on the podcast. And obviously, we had him on, like, a week later before he did. I think he did like what Jimmy Fallon the night before, and then was the big swing the next day. Like that makes sense.
Yeah, he big leagued just a little bit, but yeah, Seager was like one from the start we always wanted to have on. So for him to like finally have his confirmation the night he wins the World Series and World Series MVP, that's pretty badass.
And then obviously the Joe Kelly, the Joe Kelly experience and everything that went into that. You know, you said from the start, you'd be happy if we made the bottom line of ESPN, you know, where it scrolls across. Yep. And this is when we did that, man, the Joe Kelly episode. He obviously, you know, has the things go down with the Astros in Houston. He makes the face and he's going to go through a suspension where he's got to appeal that suspension. And we have this episode locked and loaded and ready to be released. And the suspension gets delayed and we're like tweeting out, okay, hang with us. It's getting delayed. We should hear something Monday. And then it turns out to be Wednesday or whatever. So it like builds up all this hype, really, like when we didn't even expect it, just kind of naturally builds this hype because the suspension's getting delayed. And it just lived up to the hype. Absolutely. Like couldn't have been better. Right. I mean, he just totally opens up about the whole situation and talking about putting us on the map. I mean, that was like 10 times more downloads than even the Bellinger one got.
Yeah. And I don't know if we've ever really talked about this on the podcast, but I think this is a better time than any. But we really were kind of jockeying with the MLB office. They had heard about the podcast and there was like some jockeying waiting for us to release it to determine his suspension. And for us to be like really that involved with like the league office and the suspensions, and like we were kind of holding the cards in the situation. And I loved how we just sort of like standed pat and like didn't put it out and just waited. It ended up making it better, like you said, but I just remember like feeling like, what the hell, who are we to be like determining when the MLB like puts out this really historic suspension? Like looking back, that's really cool.
I was literally on the phone with like lawyers from our union asking me like what he says. And can we send, I think we sent him some audio.
We sent some audio.
Yeah, sent some audio. And he was like, yeah, you got to wait. And we're like, all right, yeah, we'll happily wait, you know?
Yeah, even better.
Yeah, but yeah, we were definitely more involved in that process than any podcast should have been.
Yeah, so you know, I really don't think this is hyperbole. I don't. I think that Joe Kelly interview with us is one of the, like, the most explosive interviews with a active player in any sport ever. Like, I really believe that. Like, I cannot name off the top of my head a guy, like, calling people rats and bitches and, like, really exposing these, like, deep, dark secrets that we've never heard before. And he's still in the league. Like, I just don't think we've really had a tell-all like that ever. And, like, I'm really proud that he chose our podcast as that outlet. It's really, like, a part of history, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if it would have been on camera as, like, a post-game press conference, I mean, it would have been displayed everywhere. I mean, the next couple of days, we were all over, like, Chris Russo on iHeat. We were getting talked about on Starting Nine podcast. Like, we were everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, like you said, that was as aggressive of an interview as we've probably ever heard in our sport.
Yeah, for sure. Another one that's kind of the opposite that we've talked about a lot that I know Ross and I are really proud of is the night where you guys recorded in San Francisco with Rich Hill. He had just gotten hurt where it was like a season-ending injury, a really brutal injury for Rich. And he still comes through and he, like, holds up his end of the bargain. He told us he was going to come on the podcast, and he just totally opens up about his son and his story and his battle with his family and everything. And, like, looking back, man, like, what an emotional time for, like, you guys in the room and just me across the screen. And just, like, everyone I know that listened to that podcast was like, yeah, I was crying the whole time.
Yeah, spot on. I mean, I see Rich all the time now because he plays for the Rays, and you know, luckily we play him 19 times a year. And I try and go out of my way to tell him that and how thankful I am, because that meant so much to me. And, you know, he probably just thought he was kind of just sharing his story. But, you know, at the time, that was kind of when we were first starting to get our podcast off the ground. And that was really the second biggest interview we had done at the time. And for him to open up and give us like an hour of just emotional roller coaster that he took us on. I've said from the start that that's been my most favorite interview I've ever done. And I think it's made me better moving forward. Like, if I go into any career like this after baseball, I am going to be more prepared because I've done an interview like that where I've had to handle someone kind of break down in front of me and talk about something that, you know, that's strong and that passionate and, you know, such a big part of their lives that you don't really hear from an athlete that often. So yeah, that was, you know, you wrote down, it captured a special moment, and that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Really, the Rich Hill one and the Joe Kelly one were totally different and opposite in every way. But I think both were very, like, instrumental to us as, like, hosts and people that interview people to know that maybe sometimes just shut up and get out of the way and let them go. Like, don't interrupt it. No one wants to hear what you have to say. People want to hear what Joe Kelly had to say that night and what Rich Hill had to say. And I think that was, like, a great learning experience for us to just kind of, like, sometimes less is more, get out of the way and let the guests go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the last one that we wrote down, and kind of when you can point at where our podcast was probably at the top, in my opinion, is the live show in Scottsdale, spring training 2020, before the pandemic. We had a live show at the Baseballism store in Old Town Scottsdale where we had about 100 people show up. And we interviewed Alana Rizzo, Kyle Farmer, Coop and I did our thing. Literally, we were on a stage. We had, you know, a full sound system set up. We did a Q&A. We signed autographs afterwards. People bought stuff from Baseballism. Like, it was a perfect event. Couldn't have been better. First one set up all by us. We didn't have any help. We just did it. And, you know, coming out of that, we had all the momentum in the world, feeling like we were going to do, like, one of these a month, maybe more, going to fly out Cooper. Yeah. I was looking at places in L.A. to have them where we could fly out Cooper every couple of weeks and do one. I mean, it just felt like we were on a roll, and here we come, Big Swing Podcast. And then obviously COVID happens, and like many people, it changes the course of their lives. And for us, it just kind of cut us down in a time when it felt like we were really starting to soar. And, you know, we did all we could through the pandemic. We were doing two shows in a week at times, grinding through episodes. You know, Coop and I didn't see each other for like 18 months. My wife was pregnant. We took COVID really serious. Plus I'm playing, you know, that 60-game season and all that went into it, and all that, during all that, we're still putting out an episode a week. And, you know, I just look back at that Baseballism live show and think, like, dang, man, if no COVID there, who knows where we're at right now.
It really is true, man. I think that episode really, like, and that event gave us confidence, like not only from our ability to do it live, but also like, you know, we can figure anything out. Like we had no business being able to put that event on, and we had no business like reaching out to Baseballism and setting that up. Like there would be no reason we have that experience. And we just kind of, like you said, we went for it and it happened. And yeah, we just, I think we left that being like, man, we can really do this. Like at all these Baseballism stores, we can do these events in LA and people are going to show up. Like we were in Scottsdale. We weren't even in LA and we had, you know, whatever, 80 to 100 Dodgers fans in there and people that listen to the podcast. And like that was a really special night. Like I think that was like, for me, like a pinnacle of like, man, you know, I feel like I sort of like reached a dream there. Like I've always wanted to do stuff like this. I've always wanted to be like an announcer or something when I was a kid. You know, I love sports, but I looked up to like Marv Albert and stuff like that. And that was like a moment for me. I was like, holy shit, like I am doing this. Like people showed up to listen to us. And yeah, I'll never forget that.
You were in your element that night. You know, that was, you know, I see you through Zoom and when we record, and like I knew you were passionate about it. But that night, I mean, you just like lit up like crazy. You know, you commanded the room. Like the part of being a podcast, at least this one that we do, is you need someone that drives the episode and you need someone that just kind of fills in, which I'm the guy that kind of brings in like I'm the baseball player. I have the stories, but like Cooper drives this sucker. Like this would not happen without him. He opens the show. He ends the show. He does the ad reads. He does the stuff behind the scenes for the first half of the show before we join James Street. Like it does not happen without him. And then for it to go as smooth in a live show like it did, that's because of him. That's because of the reps that he's done. And then when there's 80 to 100 faces staring at him, to still be able to lock it in and light up a room like you did, man. That was, you know, that was special. Like I said, I walked out of that night thinking we were on the way to you know, really being something.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because you mentioned all that. And I think we've realized that we were a really good team because we needed each other in this, you know, like I kind of knew some of the back end stuff. Like I was an avid listener to podcasts. So I knew how the show should flow in a certain sense. But like we couldn't have done it without you, without your connections and your expertise and your sport and like that that analysis and that extra stuff that you could bring to the table that, you know, we just don't know as fans. And just being able to like experience those spring trainings and being around some of these players and coaches and media people, like I just by observing, there were so many things that like, oh, I didn't know that was the way it worked, or I didn't know that Ross actually had a relationship with Alana. Like stuff like that that we would have never seen if you didn't provide that perspective. So
I think that's one of the most things I'm probably like proud's not the right word, but like happy that happened. You know, I've been able to bring some of my friends around spring training or Kershaw's events or whatever, where they get to meet some guys and have a good time. But like, but I was able to kind of like open up my world to you, and you handled it like a champ. You know, every time we walked into a room with Clayton or CJ McCollum or Bellinger or Seager or Justin Turner or whoever, you know, from my world, man, you handled it perfectly. You know, you were never starstruck. You were never asking for autographs. You were never doing any stuff like that, man. You were like just a guy's guy hanging out, having a good time, recording a podcast. And, you know, I think it's, I'm happy that I could show you what spring training is like, and I could show you what Clayton Kershaw's like when he doesn't have a Dodger jersey on and all these things, you know, that, obviously, we tried to open up to fans to hear that perspective in the interviews that we did, but you were there firsthand, and you know, it's something that a lot of people really don't get to see.
No, I'm super, super thankful and grateful that you like kind of let me in that door. And you know, I think it's probably a good lesson for people, just like in general, just act like you're supposed to be there, and I think you'll loosen up a ton. Like I was just like grateful to be in those spots and be in those opportunities. And I think my relationship with you probably helped all those things. Cause it's like, whatever, it's, you know, he just throws a really sick curveball, but like, you know, whatever, I can throw a cornhole bag better than him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's been proven. Well, that's the other thing about this, man. And I texted this to you when we kind of realized that this was winding down, is, you know, most people may not know our wives were good friends. You know, Coop and I, when we decided to make the podcast, it was at a Rockets game. We'd probably hung out 5 times.
Yeah.
Like we knew we had like a little friendship going, but.
And that's over the course of like 5 years.
Right. I'm never around. Like, yeah. I'm never around. So I see Cooper like once an off season. And, you know, our wives are like best friends in each other's weddings kind of stuff. And Coop and I were like thrusted together. Here, you guys are friends now. And we made a podcast. Yeah. And now, I mean, we might be closer than our wives are. And they're still very close. You know, this has bonded us forever. And I think that's pretty cool, man, because I don't, you know, I'm sure our friendship would have been fine, but I doubt it would have ever been as strong as it is since the big swing. And, you know, obviously very thankful for that.
No. And, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't bring up like all the people that have supported our, you know, supported us through all this. And I like specifically the people that have just listened from day one. And there's a lot of people that have, like, to sit back and think about like all the thousands of people that have listened and the thousands of time people have clicked play on that. It's really like surreal and very humbling to know that people like cared enough or, you know, enjoyed it or made it a part of their day was something that was always like tough for me to grasp because it's such a big part of my day to listen to podcasts and to like consume that type of media. And it was just a really, it's, you know, I think now that it's coming to an end, I'm getting some perspective on it. It's just really like kind of trippy for me to think that people were doing that for me and you.
Well said. You know, I don't even have a whole lot to add to that. I agree. You know, the one thing I wanted to talk about is the process of getting a guest. When you have the Dodgers locker room around me like I did, you know those guests are going to come on, right? I mean, it you get one of them on, and then it kind of starts to get around the locker room. Like, eventually, I'm probably going to ask you, get your mind right for when that time comes. And then even some guys were coming up to me saying, hey, when's that going to happen? Like, that part of it was easy. But the guys like Harrison Barnes and CJ McCollum and Kirk Herbstreit, like, branching into other sports and how difficult that was, man, it you know, we both were sliding into guys' DMs, reaching out anywhere we could, reaching out through my agency. Like, somehow my agent's friend knew Kirk Herbstreit, and I was like, please send him a text. And within a day, he was on the podcast. I mean, sometimes it happened like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we reached out six times before someone finally responded, and they came on. And guys we just missed that we had on the hook and just could never sync up. Colin Morikawa, golfer, Jay Billis, Hunter Pence, Justin Herbert, quarterback for the Chargers. Like, we had all these guys on the hook. They were coming on at some point, and between my schedule and their schedule, Cooper's schedule, we just never quite synced up. But like, all those are dream guests, you know, that we would have loved to have, and it just didn't quite work. But the process of getting guests to come on, man, was relentless. I mean, it just really was.
And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons too that we feel like we are kind of coming to an end is, like, we've exhausted really our network here. And I think that people don't realize, you know, even though Ross knows these guys and even though they're buddies, it's still not easy to ask. You know what I mean? It's still not easy to go up to like one of your best friends and, you know, whatever, Max Muncy, and be like, hey, dude, like, you know, we're buddies, but like, will you come on this thing for me? It almost feels like a favor. And I think that was always like really difficult, and I've always appreciated Ross for just kind of going for it. But I want to see if you agree with this. I think asking the people that we didn't know was a lot easier than asking the people that we did know.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that Corey Seager didn't come on the podcast until 2 years after we had started. You know, I consider him one of my best friends in baseball, and I know that he cringes at things like that. And I just never wanted to put that burden on him. You know, and I had other guys like that. And, you know, but then there's some that I relied on hard, like Clayton. Got Clayton on twice, you know, and two big moments for our podcast where we kind of needed him. And he was willing to take that time and come on. And both times I just felt terrible, but I knew that it would be okay, you know. But yeah, agreed. It's much harder to go look someone in the eye and say, like, dude, I need you this week on the podcast. Can you please do it? Versus just like sending some guy a DM saying, hey, we're the big swing. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. What I do love too, looking back, is pretty much everyone we had on, like, I can't think of one person that agreed to come on and either bailed on us or just mailed it in. Like, I don't think there's one. You know, there's interviews that are better than the others, but not one person bailed on us, and everyone was true to it, and everyone showed up and, you know, said what they said and answered the questions. And I was always really surprised by that, to be honest with you. Like, I always figured that we were going to have, like, you know, a last minute someone canceled on us. And I don't think that happened once.
Yep, I agree. And I pride myself in not doing that to other people. Like, really pride myself. Like, it'll haunt me if I do it. And I've done it before. And I hate that feeling. So for us to have, like, what would we say, 138 episodes, we've probably done 75 yeah. guests, and really to never like wake up with a text that morning saying, hey guys, I just can't do it today. Like that never happened. We were never really scrambling at any moment to say, oh God, we got to find another guest this week. Like it always just kind of worked out. And yeah, I think that's very lucky.
One fun game for us in the off season strip, we're like hanging around having a beer, is we need to see who can write down the most guests that we had on.
Yeah.
Like we'll who has sure. the most names in there? I don't know. It'd be tough. I think you would have me there.
There's a couple in there that I'll forget for sure.
Oh, no 100%. Like, yeah, I'll forget 20, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah. The baseball's, you know, never been your forte. You'll forget some of the, like, smaller baseball names that we had in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Scott Alexander. Yeah. You even know who that is?
I remember that one. Yeah. That was during COVID, wasn't it?
No, that was in spring training. Lived in Arizona, and after spring training, I just went over to his house. Yeah, and did one.
There's a story behind that we won't tell, but I remember that one.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, as we wrap up this final episode of the Big Swing Podcast, episode 138, I can tell Coop and I are both getting emotional about it. Feels like a friendship's coming to an end in a way. You know, something that we poured our blood, sweat, and tears into for well over 2 years, and
a lot of texts.
Yep, a lot of texts. So many texts. Man, I mean, I have only a few people pinned. You know, you can pin texts. I have my wife, I have Cooper, and I have a group chat with my brother and my dad. Those are my pinned texts.
You're on mine too.
Yeah, I mean, it was every day. You know, we were swapping ideas, swapping who's next on the guest list, what are we talking about this week, prepping, all that stuff, man. It's been a big part of our lives. I kind of, my final words are just how proud I am of it. You know, we achieved every goal we started out with and then some. I think it, you know, this podcast reached higher levels than we ever could have hoped. I don't want this to feel like a goodbye because we failed. I want it to feel like a thank you so much because we achieved, you know, what we could have ever hoped for, and just the natural end of a great show. And I'm so proud of what we did. I'm proud of the content we put out. And whether you listen to one episode or 138 episodes, thank you so much. And, you know, stay tuned for whatever Coop and I do next. Who knows what it is? But as far as the Big Swing, thank you, and we love you guys.
Yeah, I echo all that, and I want to specifically, my last beast of the week will be to you, Strip. It's just been so much fun, you know, building our friendship, building this show together. I never, ever thought that I would be doing something like this. I always dreamed about it, and to sit here after 890 days, 138 episodes, like, I'm just so proud, and, like, I feel like the podcast, I kind of talked about this before, but the podcast came into my life when I really, really needed it. I really needed like a burst of life, and the Big Swing came along, and it really was a life-changing event for me. And it's been a dream come true to do this with you, Strip, and a dream come true to have people listen to us every week. And I'm just, I'm so proud and I'm so grateful, and I'm thankful for all the listeners, and I hope that we were a great part of your week, whether we made you laugh, made you cry, made you think about something, heard a story that you never heard before. I'm so thankful. And, you know, for the last time ever, I'm your co-host, Cooper Searles, signing off with my co-host, as always, Blue Jays pitcher, Dodgers pitcher, Ross Stripling. Thanks, guys. Keep swinging.